The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolene Marks, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Howard. It is so great to have you back. I hope you had a good rest, and I think much needed for the time that we have coming up, where, as you say, news is literally breaking on the minute. And I heard your song was Red Light, but I think here in the Middle East, the song that we need is a Red Alert. So I'm going to jump right in and discuss the situation in Jordan, which, of course, is a huge cause for concern for us right now. A very, very sensitive situation happening on the ground in Jordan.
So can you, for anybody who doesn't know where it's at or what happened and what's precipitated the tension, can you just give us a bit of a summary?
Absolutely, I can. First of all, it is very important to remember that the countries with whom Israel has existing peace agreements with are both Jordan and Egypt, and the situation has escalated quite dramatically over the last, I would say, 24 hours in Jordan and between Jordan and Israel from a diplomatic perspective. Now, the story I'm going to tell you did break on the news last night, but I think due to the diplomatic sensitivity of it all, there was a press blackout, and it was removed. It has resurfaced within the last couple of hours, but I'm going to communicate to you as has been communicated to us by the Misrad Achutz, that is the Ministry of Foreign Affairs spokesperson. It's as follows: that a security officer at the Israeli embassy in Jordan in Amman was stabbed yesterday on the 23rd of July by a Jordanian worker who had entered the embassy compound for routine furniture replacement. The security officer, the Jordanian landlord, and two Jordanian workers were present, and one of the workers attacked the Israeli security officer from behind him and began stabbing him with a screwdriver. The security officer was lightly wounded, but he managed to defend himself. And during the incident, the Jordanian worker who stabbed him was killed and the landlord was injured. And he later died of his wounds. And according to the Geneva or the Vienna Convention, the security officer has immunity from investigation and imprisonment. However, the situation as it currently stands is that Jordan will not release him, and they want to question him themselves. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has spoken to our ambassador to Jordan, whose name is Einat Schlein, and along with the security officials. And what we do know is that the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, security authorities, and the Jordanian government are working through the various channels, and it has been recommended to Prime Minister Netanyahu that he actually speaks to the Jordanian king, that he engages him on the issue as well. And with things really conflating on the Temple Mount, these issues are up for discussion as well. So it is a very, very tense time for all of us here in Israel, in the Middle East. A lot has been happening, as we've just said, within the last 24 hours with our Jordanian neighbors, but also throughout the area from within the last 10 days since the killing, tragically, of two Druze police officers on the Temple Mount a little under 2 weeks ago.
Right. So let's just take a step back. With regards to this incident in Jordan, the reality is, and speaking as a complete layperson in this regard, surely it's not even up to Israel and Jordan to resolve it. But if this is part of a United Nations agreement where immunity is granted to members of a diplomatic corps, surely that's the body that should now be stepping in and saying, Jordan, here you have a person who attacked a foreign diplomat or somebody working for the embassy on embassy grounds, and we have to invoke the normal law and the normal procedure. Surely this isn't for Israel and Jordan to hammer out, given the tension that exists between the two countries.
You know, I think in an ideal world, we would like very much for the United Nations and international bodies to become involved. But can we trust the United Nations, given that UNESCO, which is one of the United Nations agencies, has gone about basically eradicating our history and our holy sites with the most repugnant resolutions over the last while? I think that there is a lot of mistrust between Israel and the United Nations at the moment. We have yet to see any tachlis or dugri on the ground where we can trust such an international body. And there are many within the security establishment, within the government establishment in Israel, who hold the United Nations and UNESCO indirectly responsible for what is going on now.
Well, sure, because
their,
when you
resolutions with regards to the Temple Mount and the Kotel are really conflating the situation on the ground as we speak.
Absolutely, and of course that does damage, because what that does is undermines Israel's right to the Temple Mount completely. Because Israel has no right, well then, of course, the logical question that follows is, well, why would they be putting in metal detectors? Why do they have authority over an area that isn't a Jewish religious site? And of course we know that to be completely untrue and in complete defiance of actual history. But because the United Nations have undermined the Jewish link to the Temple Mount, this is a natural result. I am surprised, though, that Jordan would choose this path. I find it fascinating, because they do have an agreement with Israel. They do have an embassy there, and in many ways have enjoyed a very positive relationship. I mean, I've flown from Tel Aviv to Jordan. You can do that. I'm surprised that they are willingly allowing this to spiral completely out of control.
Well, this is exactly that, and that begs the question. You know, it is a very, very sensitive issue as we speak. You know, Jordan being one of the few countries in the region that we have relations with, and we've seen over the last couple of months, and we've been talking, you know, with great enthusiasm, how there have been overtures from the Arab world towards Israel. Make no mistake, this issue on the Temple Mount has nothing to do with metal detectors.
No, of course not.
Let's be very, very frank.
It's a complete construct. Why, you know, we walk through a metal detector when we go to the Western Wall. Any person does. You walk through a metal detector when you walk into a shopping mall. Unfortunately, most of Europe is installing metal detectors in many areas, because unfortunately that's the way of the world. Why should it be so offensive to walk through a metal detector, which should be, in theory, protecting the very people that are praying there? It makes absolutely no sense.
It's a horrible sense of deja vu, though, because we've seen these kind of excuses being used in the past to justify acts of terror. In fact, we saw today a stabbing in Petah Tikva, Palestinian terrorist stabbed an Israeli Arab and was thankfully apprehended by a pizza guy who clocked him on the head, knocking him out with his pizza board until the authorities could come in. Only in Israel. Only in Israel are eating implements used as weapons as well. But all jokes aside, he said the rationale behind this was Al-Aqsa, the horrendous murder of the Salomon family. And I must say, Howard, I've been up since 4 o'clock this morning, because, you know, as a journalist, I should be used to covering these kind of events. But let me tell you something, that each terror attack, each victim, the hurt inside me personally, not just as an Israeli, it gets worse.
Let's just stop there, Aline, for some of our listeners who might not have the Facebook feeds that we do. Can you please, I'm sorry to ask you this because it is horrific, but if you could please just tell us what happened with this terror attack, because it did happen on Friday night, and we certainly haven't spoken about it.
Well, first of all, I don't want you to ever apologize to me for making me stop for a minute to give pause, to give a voice to the victims who no longer have a voice. But very, very painful. It's extremely painful for us here in Israel at the moment. But on Friday night, the Salomon family, a 10-member family of Halamish in the disputed territory, sat down to have their Shabbat meal. There was a knock on the door, and thinking that it was somebody from their yeshuv or their settlement coming to celebrate the recent birth of a new baby, the mother went to the door. She opened the door to let them in. It was a 19-year-old terrorist from the nearby town of Kabed. His name is Omar Al-Abed, who I must just tell you was as the story progresses, he is alive and well and smiling on the pages of social media.
Yeah, I saw that photo of him in hospital.
He came into the home. He murdered quite brutally. The pictures are horrendous. In fact, it is very rare for the IDF to release pictures of a terror attack site or crime scene, as it is now, and murdered Yosef Salomon and his son, Elad Salomon, who had just recently celebrated the birth of new babies, and his sister, Chaya Salomon. They were buried just down the road from me in Modi'in's cemetery yesterday to thousands of people. And it's extremely difficult. And you know, it's very painful for me. The most difficult moment I've ever had on air was broadcasting as the burial of the three boys, Eyal, Gilad, and Naftali, were buried also in Modi'in, just meters away from where I live. And this was a horrible, horrible sense of deja vu. An off-duty reservist heard the screams. He managed to neutralize the terrorist who, when Magen David Adom came in and tried to treat him, which is as per their doctrine, he tried to attack Magen David Adom paramedics. The police managed to restrain him, and he received excellent medical care, as terrorists do in our hospitals here in Israel. But in the last less than 2 weeks, we have lost two of our finest sons to Druze policemen patrolling the Temple Mount on routine patrol, and three members of the Salomon family, which is a painful reminder to the murder of the Fogel family from their yeshuv of Itamar at least about 6 years ago, and it brings up painful memories. And in a horrible irony, the family, the in-laws of the Fogel family, live in Halamish. So it was a really, really horrible, horrible reminder for them. But this is the situation where we are at the moment.
What's also interesting in a non-positive way is he claimed, and the terrorist claimed today, and you know, the actions that we're seeing, the activity, is a lot of it, the excuse or the reason given is because of what's going on the Temple Mount with the metal detectors, which really only shows the danger of incitement. Because this is a direct consequence that people have been so worked up and so enraged and inflamed that they are prepared to walk into a family sitting down for a Shabbat dinner and slaughter them because of a metal detector on the Temple Mount. If you think about
without impunity, of course.
And if you think about that, that's a direct result of the incitement, which the Palestinian Authority needs to be held accountable for, surely.
Absolutely. I hold them all accountable. They've all got blood on their hands for inciting. And I must just remind people, I mean, we've spoken about going through metal detectors when you go down to pray at the Kotel. There are metal detectors at all major religious sites across the world, including the Vatican, including sites at Mecca and Medina, which are the holiest sites in the Islamic world. In fact, there was an article recently in the Guardian newspaper which said worshippers coming into Mecca and Medina would now be checked for weapons.
Incredible. And yet somehow this is here, it's a problem. And the world just doesn't see it. When CNN report it, they report three Palestinians killed and three Israelis killed as though there's an equivalence in terms of the way in which it was done, that the Palestinians were involved with rioting and causing mayhem, and the three Israelis were sitting at a Shabbat dinner in the sanctity of their own home whilst they were murdered.
It is an appalling double standard, and this is where I urge all our listeners, first of all, to become informed about the situation on the ground as it stands, and also to become activists. We cannot allow the mainstream media to get away with perpetuating these kind of lies. I've heard language like the siege of Al-Aqsa being used. Al-Aqsa is not under siege, and I want to remind anyone who's coming or who's tuning in now that Israel is not prohibiting anybody from worshipping at the Al-Aqsa Mosque. In fact, it is the Waqf who is responsible for the Temple Mount site, for the Muslim holy site, that is actually calling for a boycott of worshipping at that site. So it is not Israel. It is the Waqf. It is also Fatah, the ruling party within the Palestinian Authority, that is also calling for a boycott and for people to rather pray in the squares of their villages. It is not Israel. Israel is doing this as a preventative measure. We cannot have any more of our civilians, Jewish, non-Jewish, be killed at holy sites.
Sure. Absolutely crazy, crazy situation, and very stressful indeed as we head towards the fast of Tisha B'Av, which happens in just over a week. It is a period of the 9 days where we actually remember and commemorate the destruction of both our temples, which stood exactly on that spot. So isn't this the world just turning and circling right back to where everything happened?
Well, I think that's exactly it. And Howard, I just want to say Kol HaKavod on an excellent, excellent op-ed in the Times of Israel, where you address this very issue. And it's one that I think that every single person needs to read and take cognizance of the sentiment behind it. Because, as you say, we've got to get it together.
Absolutely.
We've got to get it together because we face an enemy much greater than the divisions that we have between ourselves.
Absolutely right. And there we leave it. That's Rolene Marks with the Israel Report. We'll chat to her tomorrow. Rolene does keep me updated throughout the day and the night on Israel news, and we'll continue
Sometimes I even sleep.
I'm not sure I believe that, but all right. And we'll continue to post it to your Afternoon with Howard Feldman's Facebook page. Keep an eye on it, and we'll keep you posted with news. Rolene Marks, you have a fantastic, peaceful evening, and we'll speak to you tomorrow. That was Rolene Marks with the Israel Report.